This is Papa Smurf. You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast with ODB and the Mayor.
Yeah. Thank you. Far too kind.
Yeah.
Ready?
Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roll. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise.
Yo, it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 28. Mini Trucking 101 Part 2. It's ODB, and you're chilling with Our Lifestyle, the podcast. We appreciate you guys listening, all the ladies as well. So on this podcast, we're going to have Craig Raleigh, and we're also going to hear a new segment, which is Mini Trucking Spotlight. And we're going to do a spotlight on the Lowrider page, which is an Instagram, Facebook, as well as Twitter page. You got to follow the Lowrider page. So more to come on that. Give a couple of updates. So for this one, with being at part two, we're just going to do like kind of a quick intro with myself, and then we'll roll into the interviews. So a couple of project updates. Got the Lincoln really hustling on that. I pulled the transmission. You guys may recall I'm dropping that off soon to get some work done. Also going to hopefully shoot to have that thing rolling on the streets of Lutz, Land O'Lakes, Tampa, Florida in the very near future. So really got some things I'm working on there. Also worked on the 79 GMC crew cab dually this past weekend, which was great. Had to change the blower motor for the air conditioning, so I'm kind of chipping away at fixing a few things there so I can get that AC rolling. It's getting ready to get hot in Florida, guys. You already know. So definitely have to get that resolved. Also picked up late last week an old school camper shell. So if you follow us on Instagram or you follow our @C30Addict page, so we have @C30Addict for those dualies, including this 3500s. We also have @LincolnAddict. So @C30Addict, I went ahead and shared some photos of the topper that I picked up. It was a local find, and just today I had the opportunity to set it up on top of the truck and get a chance to see first look on how I like it. So I'm definitely looking forward to getting it. I still got to get the topper deals to hold it on there so I can actually drive the truck around. But for now, I've just sat it up there for space. It's a very similar color to the body, so definitely stoked about that. It's not spot on, so I have to determine if I want to color match the topper camper shell deal or if I want to maybe strip it off and kind of leave that raw aluminum finish on the side. So that's definitely something I have to kind of figure out what I want to do next. But, you know, if anybody will remember Project Golden State, it's kind of a project side piece. It was the nickname that I had for it. That's actually now Roro's truck name for his old school Chevy C10 that he picked up. We've shared that as well on Our Lifestyle, the podcast Instagram page. But he's now got Project Side Piece, and with Project Golden State, it's just one of those chip away a little bit at a time. Next is the truck scene updates. So I'm looking at the new Truckin' Mag. So this just came, the subscriber issue, late last week. It's the Truckin' February 2017. It's got an 81 K5 Blazer. Can't miss it. It's green. It's shot by Phil Gordon. It also has some really awesome features in it. So make sure if you're not a subscriber, you should subscribe. But if you're not, definitely go to your local spot and pick up this magazine. It's got a really badass Acrophobia Toyota Tacoma feature. And I think the owner is William Finzel. It also has an Aftermath feature, which is a lifted truck. And then it has a Sunset feature of a full-size Chevy that's hammered. Definitely. February 2017 issue is a good one. You want to pick it up. Street Trucks, February 2017. This has a GMC, a 1952 pickup on the cover. Super badass ride. One of our previous guests, owner Jeff Davey of Devious Customs, was the mastermind behind this build. So big up to Jeff. He continues, and you know his whole team, they continue to put out amazing rides. These trucks are just unbelievable, and this truck is one that, you know, you can look back at the feature and just continue looking at it. It's really, really, really spot on. So huge shout out to Jeff Davey and the whole crew there at Devious Customs. Check that hashtag, GoBeDevious, or just follow them at Devious Customs. The Real Matt Smith. So you heard us talk about the Real Matt Smith many times, and we want to send a huge congratulations. He is on the next cover of Common Treads magazine. And Matt recently posted, if you check out his page on Instagram, it's Redwood. It's R-E-D-D-W-U-D. So Redwood, kind of a weird spelling, but it actually ties into the theme of his truck. And he went and did one of the best things he could do. He actually got an In the News plaque made. What was really awesome about the plaque is In the News did the wood grain or the wood finish on it. It actually looks like the wood, for the most part, of the airbrush, which was done by Airbrush This. So really, really cool feature. It's on the Common Treads magazine cover. But the key is, for anybody out there, if you need a plaque for a current or past feature, make sure you hit up Ryan Sumner, S-U-M-N-E-R, on Facebook. And if you just Google In the News, Our Lifestyle Podcast, there's a form you can fill out. And Ryan will personally get back to you with a quote within X amount of days. Pretty quick turnaround. And oftentimes those plaques are free shipping if you pay for them in advance. So make sure you tell Ryan Sumner that Our Lifestyle Podcast sent you. Definitely want to give a huge shout out to Josh Criswell for winning the Street Trucks Blood, Sweat, and Gears Truck of the Year. He actually won the Phil Built Design. So if you look at on Instagram, at Phil Built Designs, he won one of those coveted license plate awards. And, you know, Josh is a really good dude. We've mentioned him in the past. You can look him up on Instagram at JDCRIZ. He built a really, really kick-ass C10 that he purchased online years ago, a couple years back. It came from Daytona area, I believe, ended up in San Diego. He did all the work himself, and it has all Porterbilt fab chassis parts. He actually powder coated a lot of the stuff white, which sounds crazy, but man, it really pops. So, you know, huge shout out there to Josh. He's also a Lincoln guy too. So he was out cruising this past weekend with, looks like, four or five Lincolns, a couple hot rods, and then, of course, his badass C10 pickup. So a couple show updates. LST's coming fast and furious, so more to come on that. That's going to be next month. We got Doing It in the Dark. So you already know Mike has been really kind of hitting on that one. We've got some details coming very, very soon in the next couple weeks for the cruise that we're going to do on, as I mentioned last episode, on both sides of the bay. So we're going to meet up for any mini truckers, hot rodders, so on and so forth. You're going to meet up. We're going to cruise into the show. Also got the mini truck Nats coming up. More to come on that. Laid out at the park. Battle in Bama. So you're going to hear on this episode, I mentioned Craig Rowley. He's going to give a little bit of an introduction to Battle in Bama, which Mike, Vic, and I will be there. Also note that we're going to have Craig back on very soon to talk a little bit more in depth about the show. A lot of the focus on this interview is going to be about the old school mini trucking and how he got in the scene. And Craig is a great dude. So make sure you're going to Battle in Bama and you're supporting the real deal Holyfield. So I mentioned social media already. Make sure you follow at C30 Addict because our new page is blowing up, man. We've posted a lot of awesome 3500s, old dually C30s. Thanks for all the love out there. Also, the other social media update is this past weekend. If you noticed, there was an awesome show going on in Cali, actually over the past couple weekends. So you had the Grand National Roadster Show, and then you had the Classic Auto Show. On Instagram, if you follow at the Classic Auto Show altogether, you'll get a chance to see some really cool rides that were out there at this show. I think there was a photo that Chris Jacobs had posted from Velocity. And after he posted it, the Classic Auto Show reposted it, and it had Kindigit in it, it had Foose, it had Chris Jacobs, of course, had a Wheeler Dealers, I think his name's Mike, and then it had Wayne from Chasing Classic Cars. So it was really cool that, you know, the Classic Auto Show reposted that, and there were a lot of big names there, a lot of C10s out there. It was pretty rad. Sports. So I got a chance late last week to watch the NFL Skills Drill Challenge. It really kind of brought me back to growing up watching the NFL. They used to have these different challenges where the quarterbacks, I think it was called the Quarterback Challenge, they would throw the footballs at these moving targets that were on golf carts, believe it or not. So this year, the NFL, I don't know if they've been doing this the last couple years and I've just missed it, but they kind of brought that back. One of the things I really liked was they integrated technology into the skill drills. So as an example, they had a drone that would drop a football from about 100 feet up, and the player had to kind of watch it come down, and then they had to snag it. Of course, the wind kind of blowing it. You know, you had guys dropping it. Odell Beckham Jr., he actually won that piece of the skill drill. But overall, I thought it was really great that the NFL has kind of expanded on that All-Star weekend. The Pro Bowl was just yesterday on Sunday. I took my son to it. It's always been a bucket list of mine to go. Of course, I didn't want to go to Hawaii because that's a long trip. A few years ago, it was in Miami because the NFL had kind of broken their tradition of having the Pro Bowl in Hawaii, and they had it in Florida, which was the host city at that year of the Super Bowl. This year, they opted for Orlando. They won the bidding. Of course, the Super Bowl's in Houston, so we had a chance to go out there and participate in that. If anybody's a sports fan out there, you already know the game wasn't that great. There were a couple of moments that were kind of highlights, if you will, but overall very boring in the grand scheme of things. I'll say it like that. Son had a great time. It was his first NFL game. Got a chance to do that father-son time, so definitely stoked there. So the Super Bowl's coming up very soon, next weekend. Obviously, that's going to be big. We've already seen some of the commercials leak. May the best team win. You're either a Patriots fan or you hate them. And then, of course, if you live in or around Atlanta, you're a Dirty Birds fan, right? So Matty Ice, which is the nickname that he doesn't like to go by. He's more than likely going to play a pretty superb game, but you can never count out, or it's very hard to bet against Brady and Belichick. So we'll have to see how that game turns out. But at the end of the day, it's his 7th Super Bowl, his being you know, both coach and player, but, you know, Tom Brady, if he wins, it's his 5th ring. It's unbelievable. Don't think that'll ever be broken again. Another cool thing this past weekend as far as sports, NHL All-Star Game was in Los Angeles. One of the cool things I saw was the Coyotes goaltender Mike Smith, the real Mike Smith, right? But Mike Smith shoots the puck all the way down the ice in really kind of an unbelievable goal, you'll say. They had basically a board there, and there's like a really tiny slot that you can shoot the goal in. So it was unbelievable to cross 4 lines and then go all the way in. So that was kind of cool. And then the other thing that was fantastic about the NHL All-Star Game, they let the kids kind of participate. So there's different things where the players' children can get out there and shoot goals if they're hockey players. NFL kind of did a little bit of that with the Pro Bowl, but, you know, not so much. I think they more had the flag football thing pregame and then during halftime. And then, of course, NHL, to me, they do a better job of really kind of getting the kids involved out there on the ice. So I thought that was pretty badass. So I'm going to wrap this up. I'm just going to say, listen, please go out and rate us on iTunes. You may not be an iPhone user. Maybe you're not an Apple iTunes user. Totally get it. You can still download iTunes to your Mac or PC. And when you do, go into the podcast section. And when you go into podcast, you can go ahead and find our lifestyle podcast, and you can still rate us. That helps us because, you know, it's kind of moving us up in those ranks of the automotive podcasts, and we appreciate it. If you're an Apple user, you can rate us, I believe, right there on the iPhone or right there on the computer, whichever you prefer. It's easier on the computer, but hey, most of us are on our phones all day. If you're a Droid user, still, you know, share it with your friends and family, so on and so forth, and clubmates. The key for us is iTunes is really the biggest hub. You know, they've kind of started the whole podcasting. So iTunes as a hub is really big. So that's why we always suggest, hey, go there. They've got a great rating system, and it really kind of follows us. So if you have a company or you do a podcast or you enjoy the podcast, when you leave your remark there, you simply can get, you know, shout out yourself or your business. So, you know, you may say, hey, this is a fantastic podcast, best one ever, you know, so-and-so. And then put your name or put your company name or your Instagram name, and we'll make sure that we read and share that on the next couple of episodes. The reason why we haven't continued to read those out is because we haven't gotten any additional ones. So They kind of trickle in very slowly, and we're trying to kind of speed that up. So although this is a free podcast, if you can do that for us, that's all we ask in return. And of course, share it with your friends, family, and clubmates. Without further ado, I'm giving you Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 28, Mini Trucking 101, part 2. And we've already got 29 in the works. We've got some awesome guests lined up for the next 4 or 5 episodes, some really cool stuff. So just want to say thank you for the continued support. Last but not least, make sure you check out our sponsors. So you got Sparkles Detail, you got Grindr TV. Big thanks to Viair Corp. Make sure you also check out In the News Plaques, as I mentioned earlier. And make sure you also check out Drop'emWare. Whether you're on Drop'emWare Garage, Drop'emWare.com, or you're following Drop'emWare on Instagram, the key is make the purchase. They have tons of different articles of clothing, right? Accessories, DVDs. Support the scene, support the reel. Sparkles Detail, Viair Corp, Grindr TV, In the News Plaques, Drop'emWare. We appreciate y'all. We out. Peace. Yo, it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, coming at you guys live and direct. This is Mini Trucking 101. That's the title of this episode. And we'd like to welcome none other than Craig Raleigh. What's going on, Craig?
Not much, man. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. We definitely appreciate you taking the time out. Craig's a hardcore, I'll just kind of say, auto enthusiast. And he's represented the scene for a long time. He's really, you know, the name, if you will, behind Battle and Bama, which you're going to hear more about. But, you know, we just kind of wanted to say, man, Happy New Year. How are things going so far this year, man?
Man, it's going great. It started off with a bang. The New Year's been rocking. Lot of planning, a lot of great things going on with Battle and Bama. We are totally, totally stoked about this show. A lot of traffic, a lot of legwork, but we're getting it done.
Yeah, man, you nail it, Craig. And you know, when it comes, and I want to kind of talk about a little bit of this as well, like when it comes to the whole social media aspect. You know, we're also, just to kind of give the listeners, we're going to have Craig back on within another couple episodes to talk about all the ins and outs. We are going to give you some info now out on Battle and Bama. But we just thought it was important for Craig to come back on a little bit sooner, or closer to the show, if you will, because, you know, we've got so many good things to talk about. And, you know, Craig was, man, you know, we were itching to have Craig on, and Craig was like, man, I want to come on. So, you know, Craig, if you kind of gave us the rundown, I would say the high-level overview of Battle and Bama, you know, date, location, so on and so forth, you know, what would you share with the listeners, man?
Sure, man. It's Battle and Bama. It's in Mobile, Alabama. It's at the USS Alabama. The Battleship Memorial Park. It's going through May 5th through the 7th, and it's a great time. It's a great time for all. It's fun for the family. There's so much to do with a battleship. There's a submarine that you can tour. There's a bunch of nostalgic planes. There's water. There's great food. Like I said, man, the show's second to none, and it's going to be a great time.
Well, and the other thing is, we're, you know, very big, obviously, like a lot of people are with social media. When you hear of an event like this, you can just go on Instagram, or excuse me, you can go on Facebook and type in Battle and Bama, you know, three separate words. But Instagram as well, I mean, Craig knows that's where it's at. So you can also go on Instagram.com/Battle and Bama, or, you know, you guys are on Instagram on your mobile phones, just search Battle and Bama. And Craig, you got a page set up. It looks like, you know, I've been following it, but Battle and Bama, you've been posting some cool stuff too, man.
Oh yeah. Yeah. What I've done, that's a little bit different is basically the people that are committed to come to the show is we're highlighting them and their vehicles, because we want to put faces to the vehicles and kind of show the spotlight on the individuals that are building these beautiful rides. So yeah, we definitely are doing some different things as far as promoting.
Dude, that's rock on. And I think it brings a great aspect to the show, kind of a, I guess you could say, like a pre-show, if you will, because you're given some insight into who's going to be there, putting, like you said, some faces to the vehicles. And I saw some folks that I know that are going to be there, man. It's going to be really cool. So You know, again, we're going to hit you guys with so much awesome stuff about Battle in Bama. The good thing is, like Craig said, it's Mobile, Alabama. It's the USS Alabama. It's Battle in Bama. It's Battleship Memorial Park, May 5th through the 7th. Man, all you got to know is Alabama. You know, look it up. Again, make sure you guys come if you're in the Southeast. We know there's going to be guys and ladies coming from all over. But I'll just say, listen, if you're anywhere in the vicinity and you're on the fence, you shouldn't be. But if you are, make sure you hit it up. So it's going to be good stuff, man.
Absolutely, bro. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you got it, Craig. Now, to keep with the theme, like as our listeners kind of heard earlier in the podcast, you know, Mike and I talked about mini trucking, kind of what it means to us. You know, we've all gotten in the scene, so to speak, at different times, you know, 90s, 80s, early 2000s, you know, some guys maybe just got in. But the cool thing is with the podcast, we can talk about all those different times in the scene. And, you know, can you share with us like how you got involved with the mini truck scene? And I think, you know, you posted some cool photos, you know, and you do all the time, Craig, but like, was it mini trucks? Was that the gateway drug, so to speak? Or was it, you know, was it other vehicles, if you will, that got you involved?
It was mini trucks, man. I'll kind of give you my story. So it started in 1988, and my dad, he opened up a custom shop in a town called Thibodaux, Louisiana. And when he opened that shop in 88, a lot of the mini truck scene was huge, and they basically migrated to the shop. And, you know, next thing, you know, so I was riding my bike home from school and then going to the shop, and I'm seeing, you know, my dad and the body guys working on these trucks and customizing them and painting them and molding the ground effects and Texas tails and cutting tops with the Rodney Radical tops. And
yep.
And I just fell in love with it. And then my dad ended up starting a car club, which was really, really cool. 'Cause you know, I was at that time, I think I was 13 years old. So he started a car club. It was called LA Custom Cruisers, and we had everybody in town in the car club. Anybody that was anybody with mini trucks, they were in it. And we would have meetings, and everybody would park out. We'd go cruising, and it was just a great time. And then, you know, so, you know, 89 came, and then 90. And in 1991, my dad basically went to an auction and bought my first truck. It was a repossessed, totaled-out Isuzu pickup truck, 1991. Wow. And that truck, he told me, he says, hey, man, he says, look, we're going to build a truck. But if I catch doing anything crazy, I'm taking it away from you. And every night until I got my license, we built that truck and we painted it and cut the top and put a jacuzzi in the bed and molded all the ground effects. And that became Raising Hell. So I was 15 years old with Raising Hell. And I was driving to high school in a magazine truck, basically. But, you know, throughout those times in mini truck, and, you know, there was Barry Guidry and Homa. There was Dean Schwest with his Toyota from Homa, and that was all surrounding towns. And you know, those guys were big time because they've been doing it for a long time. You know, to this day, me and Barry are great friends. And we used to go to car shows together. And just it was just really, really cool because, like I said, back then, it wasn't all about the money. It wasn't you didn't have to have $100,000 in a car to actually do something. You know, we were... Mm-hmm. We were guys, we were young. I was teenagers, you know, Barry was a young man, and we were, everything was on a budget, but we would have such a great time going to car shows throughout the whole South. So kind of take you with, you know, Raising Hell and where we were. And so my dad had a car club and we were doing our thing, and they had car shows that they would put, you know, we started cruising, and, you know, then I got hooked up with Barry Guidry, and he had a car club back then, and I think it was Southern Cruisers or something like that. Car clubs were a big thing back then. You know, they were big time. So, you know, we would all hang out. We would all hang out at the mall parking lots, and you know, it was good, clean fun. You know, it was good times. And like I said, you know, every weekend we were at a car show. You know, we would all, maybe 50 trucks, you know, going to car shows, whether it was in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, or Jackson, Mississippi, or a lot of Mississippi shows we went to, and some of the best shows were in Mississippi. But Low Class Minis had one in Jennings, you know, and I don't know if you've ever heard about that one, but that was the show to go to, because, man, the magazine guys were coming, and Bubba Jones was his name that actually put that on, which is my lead judge at my show. And Bubba Jones would put this show on called, it was Low Class Minis, and it was Mini Truck Nationals in Jennings. So Low Class Minis was their club. They would put the show on in Jennings, and it was a blast. And the first magazine guy that we ever met, Jason, was Mike Shardis. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yes, yes. And yeah, we have, and he's good friends with Ruben, and we've talked a little bit with him. I finally got a chance to meet him at SEMA 2015, so good stuff. Okay, I'm following.
Oh, man. Yeah, so Mike Shardis came down, and we were like giddy kids, you know. We were in the parking lots cleaning our truck all day and cleaning our truck all night, and, you know, they're riding around in a van, and they're looking at stuff. And the next day, you know, he comes out and he picks his trucks out that he wants to shoot. And fortunately, it was, I think, the same day we all got shot was me, Barry, and Dean. We all got shot. And again, I was 15 years old when I got my first magazine feature. And man, it was really cool. So, you know, Mike shot the trucks then in Jennings. And, you know, you got a guy from California coming in, you know, you get a guy like that coming down. I mean, he's seen everything, you know. And at that time, he had a Saline. He had a Ford Ranger Saline truck that was all done up and really cool, and everybody knew who he was. And it was just good times, man. I mean, I can sit here and go on and on, but it was really good times.
Like, it's weird. Like, you know, we've had different guests on. We had Ernie Macias on from California, and he kind of talked about how, in a strange way, he's like, you know, social media is that, you know, he's not a huge fan of it. But in the same token, he was like, you know, I do post a lot of things in social media. So if you think about it, social media is good for many things, and for some things it killed off other stuff, right? And what I kind of mean by that is, you know, yes, back in those days, like you said, you could go to a local, you know, Burger King or wherever you're having your meeting at, and it was kind of like, hey, you called the dude's house, and, you know, you got all the guys together, and they're coming up. You know, nowadays, it's if we went to, you know, the local spot, you know, we would be either all on our phones looking on Facebook, or, you know, maybe we'd have our phone out taking a photo of the truck and Instagramming and hashtagging and things like that. But yeah, it was almost like, the best way to describe it was kind of like a smaller world, more tight knit, and
it was more personal.
Yeah, I agree. And to me, what's great about your story, Craig, is, you know, your father kind of got you into it, and you were at like a young age. And I mean, you're still a young dude now, but you can look at like how much, I guess I'll say, history you've had, because I mean, you really started doing it hands on early on, and I think that's a fantastic thing about your story, man.
Yeah, I was very fortunate that my dad got me into it, because He was a drag racer back in the 60s, and he loved, you know, he did the van craze, and he got me into it, man. And I never looked back. We built trucks, we've done our thing, and I stepped out of the truck scene for a little while, and I went drag racing, and it wasn't my cup of tea, to be honest with you. You know, the cars were fast, but trucks always drew me back. And as you could tell, you'll see some of my builds, and then you'll see, you know, I'll post pictures of race cars that I've had, and then go back to trucks, and it's hard to get away from the truck scene, and I really love it. It's a passion of mine. I love the people that are in it, but I'll tell you, you know, not to revert back to Jennings and all that, but I'll never forget this story. Mm-hmm. So we're all in Jennings at Low Class Minis Car Show, mm-hmm, right? And I'll never forget, this is where I met Radar and Lonnie, because back then they were in Trendsetters.
Okay.
Okay. You ever heard of that club, Trendsetters?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Okay. And so, man, they would roll 20, 30 deep, right, from Texas. Now, so we're all cleaning our trucks, and I'll never forget this, because every time we would go to Jennings, we'd look up and we'd see them roll up, and we're like, damn it, man, they Trendsetters are here, you know? It's like, because they had the most awesome trucks, man. Radar would roll up, and Lonnie would roll up, and all the guys roll up, and I mean, their interiors were flawless. Their paint was flawless. They had some of the best tweed interiors I've ever seen in my life. I don't know who was doing them back then. They can tell you, but it was like, oh my God, these guys just roll up and they did clean house, you know? And yes, you know, they call it trophy chasing, but back then you did it to win.
That's it. You know, it was,
you cleaned your truck all day at the show, you know?
Yeah. And it was like a friendly competition, you know, especially like when you're at that age, you know, I mean, you're doing those type of things, you know?
Right. It was, you know, you clean your truck all day, man. You were there to win. You were doing everything you could to win. And I don't know if everybody else has the same view as I have back then, but I can promise you, when we roll up, we try to win. You know, we were, like I said, we're not trophy chasing, you know, but yeah, we were, you know?
Yeah, it was like a friendly competition. And when, you know, one of my old friends, and you know, Chris Gaddy, he listens to the podcast. He lives right around here, and he's a clubmate of mine. And you know, back when he had his Isuzu, right? We had Rob Scepter, who was in Severed, you know, Florida. And you know, they kind of, you know, they always went back and forth. They're like, oh, look, you got that billet piece. Well, look, I got these three billet pieces too. You know, that type of thing. So
right.
Yeah, it was kind of like that friendly competition, and it helped create like really badass vehicles, man, at the end of the day.
Right. Because you're always stepping your game up. You're always stepping up. Like if you wouldn't place at that show, you'd go home, you'd do something else to it. You come back out. I mean, you know, you did this. So now you're going for this. So then you go home and you do something else. And it's, you know, it was just constant working on your truck. And that's where it was a hobby. It was a lifestyle. It was a hobby for me. I just loved it. We would always be at the car wash cleaning our truck almost every night, you know,
absolutely.
All the local truck guys.
And I think too, like back then when I was getting into it, you know, I mean, you're familiar with this, you know, all the shows, the top shows had classes. So, you know, you had,
right.
You know, I would hear the stories of a guy that's like, man, you know, I didn't, you know, so-and-so showed up and his truck was even more sick. So I took the tonneau cover off my truck so I could be open bed because I'm coming after this guy. And, you know, it was one of those things where, it, like you said, like you get home, you peel the bed off, you know, you're sanding the frame. You're like, man, I'm going to paint my frame or
yeah,
I'm going to do this.
Exactly.
You know, I'm putting a tilt bed on, man. I'm going to get a couple billet pieces made. And it wasn't like builds
right.
took, you know, 5 or 10 years and these long, you know, everybody getting a custom chassis and this type of thing. It was like
right.
you used the resources you had, the buddies you had, and you made stuff happen.
Yeah, I can promise you back then you never seen a custom chassis.
Yeah.
Never.
I know.
You know, you never. It was, you know, like the coolest, the most chassis mod we ever did back then was, and this was probably before airbags, was we put hydraulics on my truck. And then I guess the bag craze came in and everybody started bagging. But that's kind of when things really changed, is when the bags came out, you know, because before then it was either static dropped or you put hydraulics on it or torsion down in blocks. And so... or springs or spindles, but
it was like that next level. And we saw that with like the West Coast influence
yeah.
DVD and the movie and that type
oh,
of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah. you know, you're familiar with that. And it, I think just,
oh yeah,
it was, I guess the best way to describe it was like a defining moment in the whole mini truck scene. And that's what we saw. We saw that just everybody. And like you said, it depended on where you lived. There were some guys that were into the hopping, you know, in the trucks. And then there were other guys that was like, hey, you know, I want to lay it low on some 15s. And, you know, they had hydraulics,
right.
and it was kind of big, but to your point, Craig, it just, like, exploded when the bags hit the
oh,
scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was quarter-inch line back then, and, you know, it moved up, and it's like, oh, I
yep.
want fast bags, and it took off from there.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how it's progressed.
So one thing I wanted to mention, and a question I have for you in a moment is, you know, out of all the vehicles, you know, what's one of your more favorite rides? But when, you know, getting ready for this interview and kind of Googling your name, right, to kind of, you know, see where I land, you know, your name, you know, will pop up in mini truck features, you know, where guys have thanked you, you know, former, you know, clubmates or current clubmates. And
oh,
correct me if I'm
yeah.
wrong, one of the vehicles that I really liked that you had built years ago, was it the Dually Noted, the 99 crew cab? Was that
yeah.
yours, Craig?
Yeah, that was mine, yeah.
Yeah, and if for anyone,
yep.
and we're going to share, like, once this episode comes out, we're going to share this through social media, like, you know, through Instagram and Facebook. One of the nice things that TruckTrend.com has done, the whole publishing there with, you know, Mini Truckin' and Truckin', you know, all these features are online now. So when you go out there and you see, you know, this 99 crew cab dually that Craig had built back in the day, you know, it's laid out, it's got some cool wheels, nice paint job. I mean, it really... was a nice clean build, and you know you read the feature and it's like, man, you know, you all the names that you kind of mentioned, you know, those were the spots that you were going, you were in Mississippi, you were getting work done and that type of thing.
Yeah.
I'll stop talking for a minute and kind of ask you, like, you know, you've had your hands in all kinds of your own personal builds, and you know, we'll talk in a moment about maybe the latest creation that you've created, but what's one of your favorite ones that really sticks out, man, that it's just like, dude, I mean, this was the build, this brought a smile to your face more than all the others?
I would probably have to, the most fun I had was raising Mohel, and it was a 94 Nissan extended cab that I built. I bought it at the Nissan dealership, went straight to my shop and gutted it, repainted it. We took the cab, we painted the frame, put a side tilt bed on it. We cut all the cross members out from the behind the cab back
mm-hmm.
and chrome plated them, full tweed interior. and it got shot right when we were done with it. And Courtney shot that one. But yeah, that was probably one of my, that's the one I had the most fun with.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I really miss though, that was just user-friendly, drivable, took it everywhere, was that dually. I mean, I had fun with that dually. We drove it from St. Louis to Oklahoma to Greenville to Louisiana. I mean, we went everywhere in that truck. I mean, it was a blast. Indy Truck Bash.
Yes.
I
was going to say, I probably have, we, you know, I'd say collectively, my buddy Chris and, you know, some of us that used to travel with the shows, I probably need to look back and see, we probably have tons of photos of it, man. But, you know, when you bring back memories of, like, Indy Truck Bash, Oklahoma, Showfest, I mean, talk about quality builds back then, man. I mean, that truck just fit right in, Craig.
It you know, it did. And it was super clean. We put Miata door handles in it, shaved it, and it was a cool truck. It was a really cool truck. I had a Chico Shaw. I don't know if you're familiar with that name,
oh, yes.
But he's a household name now, and he helped me out with it. Joe Benny, you know, he helped me out with it. And we finally, you know, I had a lot of help with it. I had a lot of help from some local guys to get it finished. And I had a blast with that truck. I really do miss that truck. I gave that truck away too. So I like to find it, you know, I'd buy it back.
Yeah, it's timeless. When you look at the billet grill, it had the Denali front end.
Yeah.
You know, you had the smoked cab lights on it. You know, really kind of mixed between like the Cali / I'll call it Third Coast, you know, hip hop fans out there, Third Coast,
right.
You know, it almost had that, you know, that paint job that, trying to think of his name, you know, he painted a lot of classic vehicles in Texas, but you know, it just had so many nice cues, man. I mean, it really was a timeless build, and that one kind of stuck out, but Pat Maxwell.
Yeah, Pat. Yeah, man, I tell you what, phenomenal painter. My God, he's amazing. You know, like that's probably the best word I could put it. He's amazing.
Yes, yes. And
he put some really, really cool rides out.
I enjoy seeing like all the builds. And when I look back at the old photos, because I think he got voted in, I forget if it was this year or recently, into the Mini Truck Hall of Fame, but he has his name tied to so many cool vehicles. And that kind of, that vibe, like I said, it's a mix between the Cali paint jobs and like the Third Coast, what I call it. It was timeless on that 99 dually, man.
Well, man, when you saw a Trendsetter truck, you knew Pat painted it. I mean, it was Pat did some cool stuff. And like I said, when they roll up, you better have your game tight because they were on point.
Yes,
every single time.
Mic drop. Well, you know, talking about
they were on point.
You know, to kind of shift from the old times to the new times, right? So when I went to, you know, Vic, our homie Vic, executive producer of the podcast, said, man, you got to go. And I kind of was sleeping, and I don't want to say sleeping on scraping the coast, but years ago, the first year I went, I was blown away. And your vehicle was right in, you know, the truck that you recently had featured a couple of times was right in the front there, right? And when I saw that truck,
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I was blown away, man. I'm like, wow, I mean, this, I remember looking at it forever. I was trying to get shots of it with the camera because, you know, people were walking by. But can you kind of give the listeners a rundown of that make and model and everything? Because, I mean, the truck is truly badass, man.
Sure, man. Sure. So I'll give you, if you don't mind, I'll give you the whole story about
it. Yes, please, please.
How we got it and all that stuff. So I at the time, I lived in St. Louis, and I built a Pro Street Ford Falcon. I was getting kind of over the fast car, so I wanted to build another truck because it kept drawing me back. So I got a hold of Ty Zito from Louisiana, and he ended up having this panel truck. And basically it was a rat rod. It was flat black and it was rough, real rough.
Okay.
We struck a deal. I bought it. I went from St. Louis. I went to Gonzales, picked it up and drove it back home. And my whole goal was to build something, but to build something drivable, not to go all out like previous builds, but yet make it really cool to where I can drive it to cruise nights and not really worry about it, but yet build something cool. So we get it to St. Louis. We start tearing it down and we realize that everything's rotten. I mean, the rockers are rotten. The bedside, I mean, the quarters are rotten. Motors leaking oil like nobody's business. And mm-hmm. the frame was just really bad off. So I went to my buddy, he builds race car chassis in St. Louis. It was a Griffin Racecraft. I brought it over there. I said, man, I said, let's see what we can do with this thing. Let's try to Z it and try to, you know, build a front half and build a back half and see if we can do anything with it. And he's like, man, this thing is done. Let's just build a chassis for it. And from then on, that's when it started, the creation of what we've got now, which is flat broke. And it truly ran me flat broke building it. But it was a build that it went too far. But the end result was a big payoff because we were able to debut it at SEMA, SEMA 14, in the Exalta, Refinish booth. And it was a dream that I've always had on my bucket list, but it was also a dream of my dad to get it finished, because he always told me, he says, "Man, if you ever go to SEMA, I'm coming with you." And unfortunately, he passed away in the build, so he was never able to make it. But you know, I got a feeling he was there. You know, so we were able to debut it in 14 SEMA. It really went well, better than I expected, because I really didn't know what to expect. I never went to SEMA prior to that. It was kind of wild. I never went to SEMA, but you know, there it was kind of wild because everybody was just in, you know, Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff, and everybody was, "Man, your truck's here, your truck's there." It's a, I'm like, "Wow, man, this is crazy." And then, you know, so we get it home. Ended up finding out it was in a Japan calendar and all kinds of craziness. It's like, "Man, this is amazing." You know, the publicity it got from SEMA, and then from there, you know, we got featured in C10, and we got featured in Street Trucks and DVDs and calendars, and it's been a good run with this one.
I'll say this. Well, first I want to ask, what was your dad's name, man?
It was Joseph Raleigh.
Joseph. Well, rest in peace to him, man, because I know.
Yeah, man.
You know, we, anytime we have guests on, we, you know, we did an interview just the other day, and it's, you know, that's the first thing that comes to mind, especially like with yourself, because, you know, I can hear the passion that you have, and that's, you know, I've been handed down, right, from generation to generation in your, yes, in your situation. So, you know, rest in peace to him. So first and foremost, the thing that I'll say,
thank you, brother.
Yeah, man, you got it. You got it, Craig. And when I think of a timeless build, you know, obviously, you know, it took time, it took money. I love the name Flat Broke, but it definitely paid dividends in the end, because the truck is, it's one that, you know, no one's going to look at it in 5 years and say, "Man, that's a dated truck." And that's what I really like. Even though,
right,
you know, we're going to talk more about mini trucks, and, you know, a lot of the mini trucks are dated to the late 80s, 90s, that type of thing. And we love that. You know, that truck that you built is truly kind of inspirational to anyone out there. And, you know, I'd love to see, you know, obviously we can't, you know, like maybe after this airs, right, the podcast, would love to see if you have like an old photo of it, like the transformation Tuesdays and Thursdays that people
do. Yeah.
Because what we'd like to do is kind of share it and give the next guy the inspiration and say, "Look, you know, that build didn't happen when you were 18 years old, you know," and that's what people have to understand. It took you the right time in life, you know, the right things, all the planets aligned, as my dad would say. And you know, it worked. You know,
well, it took a lot of resource and the people that stepped up and actually, whether they sponsored it or they helped it along its path. I mean, you know, the killer thing about the whole build was that up until a certain point, me and my dad was putting all the ideas together and kind of putting the build together. And I'll never forget, you know, the last thing that he told me was, We're sitting in the frame shop and we see the chassis here and the body. And he says, "Man," he says, "the roof is too tall. You need to chop the top down." And I was like, "Man, I don't know." He's like, "Trust me, just take 6 inches out of it and chop the top." And we did. And that right there is a modification on that truck that just makes it, that makes that truck, is that chop top.
It so. Definitely does. And you don't see many of those, like a panel van that's chopped, but it's done very classy.
The hardest thing.
Yeah, I could only imagine. And I can't weld worth a shit. Jeez. So let alone, you know, I just like to see the end result because, man, that was amazing, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and,
man.
And it's, you probably have cool. Some photos like of it when it was, like, being chopped, right? Like, with just the bare metal type deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll get you all the photos, man. You'll dig it. You'll dig how we did it. It's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. Definitely rad. Now, you know, I've enjoyed seeing the truck, like I said, at a couple of shows, you know, a lot of shows, I should say. And you mentioned the kind of the C10 Builder's Guide. I have that episode. I have that issue in Street Trucks. So, you know, two of my favorite magazines, you know, Truckin's out there too. And you know, you got a lot of respect out of that truck. So mad props. But, you know, as you know, yeah, our friend Brian at Grindr TV, you know, he's a friend of ours, right? But about,
oh my God, yeah.
So you mentioned this, you kind of alluded to it, you know, with the DVD piece. About 6 weeks ago, he posted on Instagram, that's Grindr_TV for all those guys, you know, you guys know I always promote that, Mike and I do. But he posted a teaser for Volume 3 of the famous DVD series. You know, how was it getting featured for this truly badass DVD that people can pre-order today?
We had an absolute blast. It was awesome. you know, he came down and we, you know, you'll, the shoots that you see are whether they start in my garage and then we work our way out. But, he is damn amazing at what he does. Just say that he's super cool, super good guy. And he's so good at what he does. And, we had an absolute blast and I was very honored to be in his DVD, to be honest with you. And I'm glad he did it. I really am. I'm glad he did it. We just finished it last weekend, to be honest with you. He came out last weekend and we finished up a couple of things and had a blast. I mean, he's just always a good time.
I saw props to Brian. Yeah, so that's cool. I thought that you, I think it was you, Craig, that had posted a photo and I was like, well, wait a minute. He lives in Arizona and I'm like, the show isn't, you know, for a couple more months and it didn't click. So I got it now. So I understand, but to everyone out there, make sure.
He came all the way out here.
Yeah, and that's the thing that he'll do, man.
He drove
the guy's
all the way
passion.
Out here to finish it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. He came out because he wanted to do a couple more things. And I'm talking a couple more things. So for him to come out from Arizona to Alabama to finish up just a couple things to make sure that that DVD is 100% perfect and 100% the way he wants it with 100% quality and passion put in it. You got to give that guy all the respect for him to do that because he drove 2.5 days to get here.
Dude, I agree, and I challenge the listeners, the Our Lifestyle, the podcast, Airhead Nation. I plead with you. I mean, support the real deal, Holyfield. Hit grinder-tv.com. Just Google Grinder TV. But the really awesome thing is when you go to the website, you click on shop, you click on DVDs and Blu-rays, it's right there. And the great thing is, when you pre-order it, you're going to get it as soon as it comes out. You know, Brian's real good. Sometimes he'll throw a couple extra stickers in there for you. But, you know, you can do the pre-order for the DVD for $19.99. Or if you got Blu-ray players, man, it's $5 more. You got to hook it up, $24.99. So, real deal, man. And mad props on that, Craig.
Yeah, man. It's straight quality. So, you guys will be very impressed. This DVD's going to rock. Trust me. He's got some excellent, excellent vehicles in there. So it's going to be really cool.
Rock on. So when the next thing that I had in my mind was like when we post old school picks, you've kind of alluded to this, you know, you definitely rattle off the history on these famous trucks, the names, locations, builds. Can you give the listeners any more insight into like kind of the old school? Like, you know, you mentioned some of the shows you went to. I mean, did you ever kind of get over to Texas with the shows you were going to, or, you know, any other stories you wanted to share with us, man, about the old school mini trucks and that type of thing?
You know, we stayed a lot in the South, you know, your Mississippi, Louisiana. There was a lot of cool shows in Mississippi. You know, unfortunately, we didn't get to Texas because I think we always felt, I know Dean went to Texas a lot, but we never went to Texas. But, you know, down in the South, I mean, your Jackson, Mississippi had a really cool car show. It was at a water park. Man, there were the quality of vehicles that were getting built back then was truly amazing with the resources that they had at the time. There were so many cool rides, man. I wish I had pictures of every one of them to show you just how neat and how tasteful it was back then. Not that it's not like that anymore. It's just, it's a whole different ball game now. You know, I'll give you, for instance, you know, my first truck, I think combined, it might have cost $9,000, you know, to build it, mm-hmm. to be done with it, you know? And you take that panel truck, for instance, just to kind of get the time difference, you take the panel truck, that's $150,000 out there, you know?
Right.
So, you know, it's just so different now, but it was so much fun back then. It was, everybody was tight knit. It was really cool. You know, it was really cool. Do you remember the Rodney Radical shows back then?
Yes. I remember seeing photos and hearing of them, but I never got to go to one.
Well, me neither. But man, a lot of the trucks down here in New Orleans, they went and they would come back with these, rat trophies, these Rodney Radical trophies. And we just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. We saw them. We were like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing. These guys are awesome, you know, but we always wanted to go to that kind of show, but we just never, I just never ventured out that far. But you know, when you talk about old school and the shows back then and the trucks that you guys are posting that we're making comments on, you always knew who was who, you know, you always knew who had the rides, you know, and then when you post these pictures up, you know exactly who they are. or who painted them, or who, you know, built them, or who the owners were, or where it ended up, or, you know, so I mean, everybody, it was just really personable back then. I guess it's the best word I can use for myself.
I concur with you. And when I think of, you know, I'm fortunate because I kind of got hooked up with the right guys whenever I got into the scene. And I got in late 90s, 97, 98-ish. And some of you guys out there old school are thinking, man, dude, I was in an 88 and that type of thing with like Craig. But what I had learned is, you know, the truck, my truck came along and I was like, okay, I was in between like some big mods I was wanting to get done, you know, body drop, build this, do that. So, you know, at the time, my buddy Russ and Chris and I, we, you know, they were like, man, you got to go, we got to go to Nopi. So, you know, we're going to Nopi 99, Nopi 2000. Well, around 99, 2000, they're like, dude, we got to go to Showfest. And for us, the difference was like where you were, you know, where you're at, whether you're in Alabama or St. Louis or the guys in Georgia, like a lot of times it's, I'll say like a stone's throw to the next show because it's like a 4-hour drive, 6-hour drive, that type of thing. Well, you know, we got 4 hours till we get out of Florida. So back in those days, you know, we weren't the only guys because there's guys down south, old NC guys, you know, local mini guys. I mean, you know, hey, they were driving to SEMA back in the 90s, but the point that I was making is that if I think back to all those shows that I went to, like even when I didn't have my truck, I met so many people and, you know, we had a 35 millimeter camera back then. So here we are, we're taking all these photos and, you know, to your point, Craig, it very fortunate myself to be able to have said I went to a lot of those big shows. Now, I went to Texas Heatwave one time. That was years and years ago. We flew out there. I went to Showfest many years in a row. I went to Indy Truck Bash twice in the old school days. But it was cool that because in Florida, you know, we didn't have all those same builds, right? So I think you really hit on a lot of different aspects of it, man, and I really agree with you.
Right on, man. Yeah, and, you know, like you said, Texas Heatwave, that was a show where I knew it was so hot that I didn't want to go.
Yes.
I heard people passing out. I just like, man, I'm not going to that, you know. So, but, you know, like you said, Showfest and – which Showfest was a great show. It was really a great show when it was in Greenville. So many friends were made at Showfest. So much history there. It was good times, man. And then, you know, you got the shows in Louisiana and Mississippi and that we went to and a lot of people, you know, south. I mean, Florida had some great shows, you know. I don't know if you remember this truck, but back in the day was, you ever hear about Perfect 10 that was from Florida?
I want to say it. I have to refresh my memory on that one.
So late 80s, early 90s, there was this S10 called Perfect 10. A lot of the Florida old school guys will remember the truck, but it was like the truck. It had the cool graphics, the cool, you know, the heartbeat type neon graphics with the it was really a cool truck, convertible, and it was called Perfect 10, and it was absolutely perfect. It was a beautiful truck. You know, so you just knew who built these trucks from different states. It was so tight knit, like you said. It was just tight, and everybody knew everybody.
Yeah, I definitely love looking back at the old trucking and mini truckins. And before we started recording, I had mentioned that, you know, I think I got on eBay in 2001, and I started, you know, I'd be hanging out with Chris and Russ, and they were like, you know, what are you looking at on eBay? And I'd be buying old trucking magazines where, you know, this guy would be saying, hey, I'll sell, you know, all 50 issues for $20 with free shipping. And little did he know. Yeah, even if you sent media mail, I mean, those magazines were heavy back in the day, man. They're thick.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I was stealing these things back then. And, you know, I got a chance to really get a lot of those older magazines, and that's what we share a lot of those photos. And it's weird how things, you know, like our parents sometimes would say, oh, everything that was, you know, cool back in the day is going to come back around. And it's like that's where you kind of see the old school movement, guys saying, hey, look, I want to have Topper again. Yeah, you can see it, man.
You can see it. It's you know, I'll give you a prime example. You know, you got all these guys that are doing, like you said, they're buying either old trucks that they're finding. They're buying some people are buying their old trucks back that they're finding, you know?
Yes.
One of the originators of Showfest just found his old truck in Mississippi, and Joe Slade. He's like, man, it was only 30 minutes away from me, and it was sitting in this guy's shop. And, you know, I think he gave $1,500 for his truck, and the truck looks, it's doable. You know, I mean, it's still in one piece, it's still intact, it still has the same wheels on it, and, you know, the inside's roached, but he's gonna get it back together. And he's gonna bring it back out. You know, it's got a target top in it. So he found his truck. I think it was last week or the week before. I ended up finding my old van from 99.
Wow.
Well, actually, it was 98. Yeah, so I found my old van, which has been in a garage ever since I got rid of it. So it's never been out of a garage. It's been in the guy's garage the whole time. So it's absolutely perfect.
Well, so
it still has my old license plate on it.
That is insane. Well, so similar story.
Trip.
So one of our friends who's in Mini Madness with Mike, you know, they do Slamfest, is Roro. So, you know, you'll see his name pop up. And Roro, I mean, he's a true old school guy. We're going to actually have a little bit of audio on this podcast with Roro. He had been, you may remember this name, but there was a guy named Scott. And it was always in Florida, it was this guy named Mike, you know, Mike Barsha. And then there was Scott. They would kind of always go back and forth with their two Isuzu pickups, right? The pups. And Scott had kept his, like, you know, I would say like late 90s, he put the, probably late 90s, maybe it hit a show in 2000, but he put it in his garage and he kind of got into these Corvettes, apparently. So the truck, you know, a tilt bed, had a whole bunch of, in South
Is
Florida.
The burgundy one?
Yes, the burgundy one.
It's the burgundy one, right? Yeah, man, that thing's, that's cool.
Yeah, and he had all the builder and acrylic pieces on it and stuff. So it was like a time capsule.
Yeah.
And Roro had been, you know, he had been talking to him for a while. Yeah, I'll sell it to you one day. And they could never really sync up, and I'll let him tell the story, but long story short, he got it, and you look at that thing, and you say, it's literally a time capsule from the mid-90s, you know?
Well, it's funny, because I saw it at Slamfest 2 years ago, maybe? It was at Slamfest?
Yeah, he did bring it.
So I saw it there, and I'm looking at it, I'm going, man, where'd he get all these pieces at? Because I had the same year, and he's got, like, these billet vents and this and that, and I'm like, where'd he find all this at? You know, where was this at when I had mine? Because he's got some great stuff on that truck.
Yeah,
and he's got some great stuff on it.
A cool old school story was when I was getting into it, but like, you know, the mics, you know, from Negative Camber, and you know, a lot of these guys, like they had hooked up with this guy in South Florida, is Billet and Acrylic Fantasies, and he was pretty much like the Mini Truckers in Florida was like the prototype for him, because you know, especially the RA guys and the local mini guys in South Florida, they'd go to his house, that's where his shop's at, in his 3-car garage. And they'd be like, hey, we want these vents or we want this. And he was a really cool, I mean, you know, by today's standards, he's definitely old school. But between the mini trucks and the VWs, man, that kept him in business, man, which is pretty cool.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that's where a lot of
no kidding. So he was building, he was building one-off pieces back then.
Yeah.
That's
and
cool.
What was cool is like, a lot of the companies weren't making the billet pieces for those. So like if you wanted a billet dipstick, you know, you'd take it to him and he'd be, oh yeah, I'll make the end or I'll do this and that. And it's cool because some of that stuff, you know, now if you go, I went on eBay the other day and I typed in, I think Boyd or Boyd Wheels. And if you just look at,
oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, you know, sometimes like you might type in another wheel company and you're not going to see anything on eBay. Right. But you type in like Boyd, which was a big name, and you got people selling just the center caps or just the wheels. And it's that whole craze, man.
Yep.
You know,
it's kind of wild because it's kind of wild we're talking about this, because I was talking to a guy last night. I was gonna build another mini truck, and I was gonna actually duplicate the one from 94, but I needed some billet thrashers. Well, I'm on Facebook last night, and this guy found a set. The guy had a set like in the back of his shop, just sitting there, brand new. He picked them up for less than $1,000, exact same wheels that I've been looking for 6 months, and he found them. And he's like, man, I'm never selling these. And I'm like, all right.
Those the billet specialties?
Billet specialties.
Because I just saw right before we got on the phone, I saw something where a guy said, the moment you find some OG brand new billets, something, 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 and then he had the original catalog photo, and then he had the photo, and I was like, no way.
That's him. Yeah, man.
Yeah, like, I thought I saw that. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I hit him up last night. I'm like, what do you want for him? He's like, man, I'm never selling them. I'm like, Jesus. They're beautiful.
Before Roro brought the Isuzu back out to Slamfest, he had gotten it, and I think the one thing that had changed is the guy had sold the wheels and it had the stock steelies on it. So, you know, Roro was going, yeah, I need to find some wheels for it, but I want to get period correct in this. And I was kind of thinking in my head, even though I know some stuff's out there, I'm like, man, it's not going to be that easy. Like a week later, I kid you not, Craig, he's like, yeah, I found a guy on Craigslist. I went over and bought these for like $200. They're like 15s. I mean, they're perfect, you know, period correct. I'm like, there you go, man. Internet wins again, you know?
It's a trip. It really is.
Yeah, you got it. And I had a couple more questions if you got a few more minutes, because I know your time's, you know, valuable too, because you're balancing that family life, you know, you got the work, you got the show, you got the builds. But one of the my favorite hip hop artists, Xzibit, you know, he one time, I don't know if he was quoted saying this or he tweeted it out, but he was like, hey, you know, humble is the new cocky. And back in the day, you know, being cocky was kind of like the way of life, whether you lived in New York or you were from the South. But as time goes on, let's face it, you know, some of us, you know, we're not getting any younger, right? But being humble is really a key aspect of life. You know, when I met you and now that I've gotten to know you, you know, you're a super humble guy. You know, how does being humble help you with dealing with people as a show promoter, Craig?
It's what I do on a daily basis. I deal with people every day, and you have to be professional. You have to be humble on a daily basis. You know, and I live by that. It's hard to explain. I mean, back in the day, I guess I know a lot of people said that I was cocky, but I was confident.
Yeah. You know? I got you.
You know, but I mean, you know, I'm humble, you know, like I said, with having my own businesses and dealing with a corporate setting and what, you know, it's, you have to be humble. You have to be professional. You just gotta, that's what you do.
Yeah. Well, those
are, I don't really know, any other way to explain it, you know?
No, I hear you, man. Those are the words to live by, Craig. And I'm with you 100% on that. Now, when I think of old school mini truckers and builds and club mates, et cetera, you know, we often see guys and ladies bow out of builds in the scene in general. You know, my truck took a long time to finish. I kind of just got wrapped up in trying to do more and more and more with it. And I know that happens all the time. But, you know, I made sure mine was finished. I said, you know, I made a goal and said, it's got to get done. You know, so many people told me that truck will never be finished, you know, yada, yada, yada. But your longevity in the scene really speaks volumes. You know, how have you remained in the scene for so long and continued to put out kick-ass rides? I mean, what's the pedigree? What's the formula, if you've got an answer on that?
It's a very big passion of mine. I enjoy it. I love it. I love the scene. My wife backs me up 100% on everything that I want to do when it's pertaining to the scene. I just love it, you know. And, you know, I think it took 7 years to build that panel truck, to be honest with you. It took 7 years, and, you know, they're not built overnight. It doesn't matter if you have a small build or a big build. They're never done unless you just say you're done.
Right.
But it's a passion. I just love it. I don't think it'll ever get out of my blood, you know. And some people say, man, you need to, you know, I'm not saying this in a wrong way, but so you need to grow up. You need to do this and do that. This is what I do. This is what we do. You know, this is what you enjoy. You know, like I go to work every day. I say, man, the day that I hate my job is I'm getting out of the business. I'm going to do something else. Mm-hmm. I never hate this. I always love it. This is what we do. The people that you meet, I've met some great people in this scene. I've met most of my best friends are in the scene, you know, so just the passion, man. It's about the best word I could put.
Yeah, I think you definitely summed it up with one word, which isn't easy. And I think so often, you know, you mentioned this earlier that, you know, your wife stands behind you 100% when it comes to what you want to do in the scene or, you know, hey, I want to put on a show or I want to build something new. And I think that, you know, you summed it up there as well, because that's a key piece. I've known a lot of friends that have gotten, you know, they finally got hooked up with, you know, someone that was going to be their life partner, you know, in terms of a wife, or they were going to get married. And you never hear from them again. I remember, you know, over the years, tens and twenties and, you know, hundreds of guys, man, that I probably met. I mean, they're just gone because maybe they don't meet someone that you know, is going to let them explore their passion in terms of the trucks and the cars and stuff. So, you know, I think, you know, passion and that, you know, that ride or die wife, if you will, that's by your side, man. I mean, that goes a long way. So I think you nailed it, Craig.
Oh, yeah. So, definitely, man. Definitely.
So when you think of all the badass trucks that have been built for 30 plus years, you know, I often see mini truck and magazine covers and I say, man, you know, that is or was one of my favorite trucks ever built. You know, we post them all the time. You know, what truck sticks out in your mind as one of your favorite builds that wasn't something that you had or you built, but was there any one truck that you're like, oh yeah, it was this or that? I mean, anything you can think of.
Well, the first truck that comes to mind that was probably one of my favorite cover trucks would probably be Last Look. It's hard to beat that truck. You know, there's been so many. It's hard to say about one truck, but the one truck that you really just like, man, that is just from the paint to the engineering of it. I mean, Last Look was pretty on top. It was pretty on the money. You know, that truck was amazing. I'm trying to think of everything that's been out there, and that it's kind of wild because that truck, right when you asked that question, it's like that's the one that came to mind. So it's,
yeah,
I guess that's the one that's sticking to it.
It's kind of a loaded question. Now, one of the really cool things is, if you know, for the listeners, if you on Instagram again, look up Cal Concepts, K and a K, of course, so KAL, and then, you know, Concepts with a K, you'll see that they posted a photo. It looks like it was a week ago. I think it was a week or two ago, where the caption is, "I changed the game when I built this truck in 1995, Cal Concepts Paint." And when you look at the team there, and what they did is they did like a square photo where it's the 9, you know, 3x3, and you got all these different views of it. It's truly like a timeless build. And there were, you know, a lot of guys that had their hands in that one. So that to me also sticks out, and it was great because it was also in those Air Syndicate ads, and you know, it really is a true definition, I think, of the 90s California, that type of thing. I mean, a true mini truck, and it's great that it's in Fester's garage because, you know, he's a great curator, if you will, of all those mini trucks, man.
No doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. He's got some really cool stuff that he's purchased along the way. Joe Millionaire, and I mean, there's some cool stuff, man.
Yeah, I concur. Now, when you think of, so that's kind of the old school, right? Now, when you think of 2018 and beyond, and I'm saying 2018 because we're already in 2017. I mean, that's the now. But when you think of 2018, next year, and beyond, where do you see mini trucking / truck scene in 10 years? So, you know, 2027 or 2028 sounds like it's far away. It's not. I mean, do you see us all still going to shows, hanging out, getting a little crazy? Or do you see everybody driving Priuses, or is it Prii? I don't know. That's one of my bad jokes. But, I mean, seriously, like, where do you see it in 10 years, man?
Man, I think it's going to be I think we're all going to be still around. I hope we are, that's for sure. But, you know, I see the mini trucks coming back. The old school stuff is trying to make a comeback. I wouldn't say it's as big as it should be, but it's making a comeback. I'd like to see it get a little simpler, but maybe that's too much to ask because, you know, with all these chassis and twin turbos and new Escalades, you know, bodies, I mean, that's money. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And I think we're on the same page, like to just make a quick comment there. I mean, we all love seeing stuff laid out, and there's nothing against the guys that can do it. But one of the things that stuck out was, so when I was at SEMA this year, I saw one of the Jake McKitty builds, and Jake does a fantastic job. He turns these vehicles out quickly. And it was a Ford brand new crew cab. I want to say it was an EcoBoost, but he was at the same hotel that we were at. So, you know, he's driving the truck, and, you know, this thing is just sick. Well, you know, he just put it up for sale, I think yesterday or the day before, and it's like $75,000. I mean, it's a brand new Ford.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know,
that's Matt Holden.
Yeah, and the truck is badass, but I just think, like, when you take a brand new truck that's like $50,000 and you put another 10, 20, 30 plus in it, you know, and then these guys are selling it, it's nothing against them. I mean, hey, I want to continue to see that. But at the same time, I think, like, what happens is, like, the $75,000, it does turn off a lot of people that are just like, man, you know, I could buy a house for that or whatnot. So it's not to deter anyone. I mean, we want to still see that, and we're going to continue to. But I just know what you mean when you say simpler times, you know?
Yeah, and it's nothing against anybody that does any kind of big builds like that, because I think we've all been there. I know I've been there.
Yep.
It would be cool just to see it simpler, and I think that the listeners would understand what I'm saying when I say simpler. You know, back then it was simpler. You know, back in the day it was simpler. You didn't have to compete with, well, he's got 26s. Well, I want to tuck 30s, and you didn't have all that. You just, you know, it was just it was simple. It was simpler, let's say. And it was fun, and I'd like to see it get there, but who knows? I mean, who knows where it's going to take us? I still think the big builds are going to be there, and SEMA is going to be amazing every year, and you're going to see everything that you could possibly want to see. And, you know,
yep.
I think it's awesome. I think our scene is really one to stick with. I think it's great for people to be in. You know, it's good stuff. I enjoy it. I enjoy it immensely. From mini trucks to drag racing to, you know, custom whatever, bikes, baggers. I enjoy it all. It's great stuff. I love it.
And maybe what we can hope for, we've had a lot of old school guests on, and we've talked a lot about the old school, but maybe what we can hope for is some of these companies that recognize that people want, you know, a certain topper, you know, that had windows in it, or, you know, like we've recognized, you know, the wheel companies have recognized it. You know, you can go to good friends of ours, Colorado Custom, you know, which is CC Cycle Wheels on Instagram. You can go there and say, hey, these wheels from 98, I want to make them in a 24, you know, if you're doing a big, you know, Chevy build, or if you want them in the 15s right. or 16s. So like the wheel companies are kind of getting on board now. And I think hopefully some of the other companies will kind of see that. And some of them have went out of business. I mean, we know, you know, they've moved on, the Sir Michael roll pans and things like that. But hopefully there'll be a big enough resurgence, I think is a good word to use, to just bring this thing back full circle.
I agree. I agree with you 100%.
Yep, cool. Well, the last question I have, and I know this one's a loaded question, and this is going to be, after this, well, hey, ask if there's anything else you want to share, man. But, you know, if you could change one thing about the scene, I think you've already kind of summed it up. But, you know, just one thing, Craig, you know, what would that be? I think you nailed it with simpler, right? Simply, you know, just simply.
I would say simpler.
Yep.
I would say just something, you know, just simpler. I mean, and like I said, people's going to agree and people's going to disagree with. I just think, you know, simpler.
Oh, yeah. And then that means, like, what I love is the quick wins, man. You know, I got this old dually I bought, and it's like, hey, throw the shackles and hangers on it and lower it and maybe take the grill off and get it painted, throw it on, you know, take the mirrors off and get them painted or whatever. I mean, those small wins that a lot of us had as teenagers or guys getting in and you know, building these vehicles, we kind of lost that because we're waiting 6 months, a year, 3 years to get on, you know, a frame built. Which, again, I mean, talented guys.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's the way
perfect
I see
way
it.
To put it, man. You know, like you said, it's the simple win. You know, like I remember when, you know, Ground Glow was in and we put Ground Glow on our trucks. So we were the coolest thing around town.
Yes.
You know? You know, so I mean, it's that kind of stuff. It was just really cool back then. Now it's almost to the point. It's even more expensive than drag racing. You know, the truck builds are just, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It is.
A lot
when you look at the frames and stuff and it adds up. And one of the things I'll say, and I'll give a huge shout out. I met Nate at SEMA, but like the Porterbilt product, I mean, the thing that I appreciate about that and all the other companies that are manufacturing products like that is, we know out of the gate it still costs money. You know, it's a decent chunk of change. But the thing I can appreciate about it is, you know, if you do have a C10 and, you know, you're looking to sync up with your dad and build something at your house or your buddies, you can go and there's so many products out there now, have something shipped, and, you know, within a month or so you can have something together, if not sooner. But the point that I'm making is that it's great that there are companies recognize that not everyone, you know, a lot of us, we want to get hands-on, right? So we don't want to drop the truck off at a shop and wait, you know, 3 years or that type of thing. But, you know, again, to me, I mean, I don't have the skills to weld, you know, so I have to rely on, you know, the talent of Jimmy's Rod and Customs and things like that to build these badass vehicles. But I just like that there's a lot of variety now in terms of parts.
Right. I agree with you. Yeah. Like you said, you know, Porterbilt stuff's amazing. Some great stuff. Michigan Metalworks and all those guys.
Yeah, exactly. And they make our lives easier and a little bit more fun because we get a chance to bolt the stuff on and kind of do our thing.
Right.
So, dude, man, I mean, I think we will go on further because we're going to have you back on real soon to really hit on some of the key aspects that we want to share with the listeners. But, you know, when I think about having you on, man, it was fantastic. You know, from Mike, Vic, and myself, you know, we appreciate you, Craig, and how you support the scene as a whole. But is there anything else that you wanted to share with the listeners or anything that we may have excluded here that you wanted to hit upon?
Well, you know, the one thing I want to say, and I don't know if it's even, never give up on your builds, follow through with everything. And it doesn't matter if you've got a truck that doesn't, you know, that's not body dropped or anything like that. Stay in the scene, man, because the scene's great. It's a good thing to be in. This truck scene is amazing. The truck and car scene is absolutely amazing. And that's really all I got to say.
Hey, you couldn't have said it any better, man. And to all the new cats out there, the cats out there that are saying, man, you know, I'm not making a lot of money. We've seen guys on very budget builds build some really cool stuff and stuff that – forever changed the game, man. So, you know, on behalf, you know, on behalf of Our Lifestyle, the podcast, and Airhead Nation, Craig, man, we want to have you on more reoccurring, but we're going to definitely have everyone back, or excuse me, have you back on soon. Just to reinforce everyone, please go out and follow Craig and Battle in Bama on Instagram. Search for it on Facebook. Find the event. Click that you're going, because we know you want to go. You know, bring the family out. It's going to be family atmosphere, and we'll just say this, man. We're going to see you there on the battleship, in front of the battleship, doing our thing, and we just appreciate everyone out there listening.
Thank you very much, brother. I appreciate y'all.
Man, you got it, bro. You have a good night.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's the tight.
Here we go.
Yo, 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 yo. It's ODB, Our Lifestyle, the podcast. And we've got a special treat for you guys and ladies out there. We're actually going to have kind of a new segment, Mini Truck and Spotlight. And we're going to spotlight an individual or a group or maybe a club potentially, or someone just doing something that's kick-ass for the scene. And for this spotlight, our very first spotlight, we've got James Evans. He runs... He's the man behind, I'd say, the curtain for the Lowrider page on Instagram. So you've seen us reshare. You've heard us talk about the underscore Lowrider underscore page. You have to follow this guy. James is kick-ass, and we're going to hear from him now. So, James, man, I just want to welcome you to the podcast, dude. How's it going?
Good, man. Good. Great to be here. Thank you, bro.
Yeah, thank you, man, for coming on. I know you've been doing this stuff a long time, and you got some mad skills when it comes to social media. But like I had mentioned, you know, you're the guy, right, behind the Lowrider page on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So I know a lot of people know about Instagram, but they don't know about Twitter and Facebook. So kind of, can you give us a breakdown of that killer page that you run, man?
Well, I used to help administrate the Coalition OG Mini Trucking page for close to a year. So after I left them, I decided, you know, I was like, well, I'm going to kick around and just, you know, start a page on Instagram just to see, you know, what I can get and share pictures that maybe people haven't seen. So I started posting a little bit. I got a few followers, and then all of a sudden it just started blowing up left and right with people following me. And, you know, I, like I said, I have a Facebook page. It's in the description on my Instagram account as well.
Yeah, cool, dude. And so I think the thing is when you hit the Lowrider page, you can click the link there, and there's some information, or you can just search on Facebook. I know Twitter maybe doesn't have as many mini truckers, but even our lifestyle pod for Our Lifestyle podcast is – I think we're up to 100 followers, so Twitter's where it's at as well. Definitely Instagram, Twitter, and then Facebook. So before we kind of jump into a little bit of the information in terms of like how you have a treasure trove of content, I wanted to kind of ask you, James, I mean, when did you get bitten by the whole mini trucking bug, dude?
Oh, man, that had to be probably when I was in the seventh grade around 1989. I used to... wait for the school bus in the mornings, and occasionally you'd see, you'd have a line of traffic at a stop sign in front of my house. And from time to time, there'd be this guy with a black Chevy S10 with a tilt bed that would come up, and just, you could hear the bass from like probably a few blocks away. And the first time I saw that, I was like, hell yeah, I definitely want to own one of those someday.
Yeah, nice, man. It reminds me of the LL Cool J cars ride by with the boom and systems, man. Yeah, that's how a lot of us got really roped in, if you will, and it was one vehicle, or it was that sound or that look. So, kick-ass. I for some reason, on my mind, 1989 is a year that really resonates. I remember opening baseball card packs from that year. I just remember so much cool stuff about 1989. I don't know what it is, but I think you nailed it there, dude. So, you know, definitely good stuff. Now, in terms of like the throwback picks, right? I mean, to me, I feel like I have a lot of street trucks. I have a lot of trucking magazines, a lot of mini trucking. My wife is like, man, you need to get rid of these things. And I have them stacked on a pallet in my my garage area. But man, you seemingly, you know, have a treasure trove of information, man, of features and show coverage. And it looks like, you know, show picks, right, from people's collections. Man, how do you, I mean, what's the secret there? I mean, where does all that content come from, James?
Most of it is pictures that I've scanned from when I was
administrating the mini trucking page, I would get a couple of shoe boxes full of photos to scan. So I'd scan them and I'd save them on a USB port and save them to my computer and then send them back to the owner of a mini trucking page. And as well as magazines that I would scan as well. So I've got like probably about close to about 4,000 pictures just from scan photos and from magazine clippings and features and whatnot. And the other stuff, I'll go on if I see something like on Facebook and on Facebook groups or pages that, you know, I think is killer, I'll just save it and, you know, just add it to my arsenal of pics.
Yeah, man, you do a fantastic job, man. Really kind of, you know, balancing the new school, the old school. I'm looking at the page now. You posted one a day ago, which was like an old wire wheel ad. You know, you really kind of encompass so much. The one that really caught me today and brought a smile to my face was Cope Kessler's, the Blaupon Astro Van. I think it was an 85, but, you know, that was a really cool feature. Not only did I have a lot of those magazines, or still do, but, it's not easy to have them all. You know, you kind of forget. You know, you can have a stack of magazines, but you don't get to go through them all the time. So it really kind of brings a smile to my face seeing a lot of that old content. And I just wanted to say, man, thank you, and I appreciate that, dude.
Oh, man, thank you, man. It's followers like you, man, you know. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's where it's at, man. You're really kind of capturing that old school. So what I wanted to kind of ask you, you know, before we end here in a few minutes, but, you know, it's not easy maintaining a page. You know, you kind of mentioned an old one that you were an administrator of. Then, of course, you've got your own page now, the Lowrider page. You know, how is it kind of balancing that work life and that kind of addiction that many of us have for social media?
I'm not working. I'm on disability. So I have a pretty good amount of time on my hands to kill. So, you know, between going to doctor's visits or if I'm running around, you know, driving somewhere or cruising around, I usually, you know, I have a lot of time. So I try to post, you know, I post about a picture an hour is how I try to do, unless it's, you know, on a day that I'm really can't. So then I'll just post like a pic or two for the whole day, you know, and just be done with it. But for the most part, you know, I have pretty good amount of time on my hands to, you know, to help, you know, do this, you know, on the Instagram.
Yeah. And what I think is great, man, is you're kind of balancing, you know, like you said, you kind of have the time, right? So, you know, again, good luck with kind of getting through some of your injuries and things like that you have. But, you know, I think really what is what's great is, you know, you have an addiction to the scene, right? Like many of us do. And you're able to kind of, you know, not go overboard. Like you mentioned, there might be a day where you post 10 photos or 12 or more. And there's another day where you might only post one. So I kind of like that balance that you have in the scene, dude. So, you know, thanks for sharing a little bit of those secrets with us from, you know, behind the scenes there. But James, man.
No doubt.
Yeah, man, no doubt. And what I wanted to say is, you know, thank you again. This we kind of wanted to introduce you, the man behind the curtain from the Lowrider page, to the Airhead Nation, and we'd like to have you back on in the future. We know that, you know, you do a killer job, and we know that the more followers you get, the more motivation it is, right, to continue posting, because it does take time to do that. So, you know, again, congratulations. But, you know, anything else that you wanted to share with the listeners, man?
I just wanted to tell everybody, you know, that thanks for following me, you know, and you know, letting your friends know about the page, you know, and just, you know, the great, you know, feedback I get, the comments and stuff I get from people. And, you know, it's just awesome, you know, to have you guys following me, you know. That's what makes it fun, you know, is, you know, I post stuff everybody likes to see, you know, and you know, I get, you know, some people like it, some people don't, but, you know, at the end of the day, I still get the love from, you know, and the support from all of my followers, and I appreciate that so much.
Dude, 100%, bro, we got your back. And again, it's the _lowrider_page. Anytime I'm gonna tag you know, James, I always just search Lowrider, and it's one of the first two that come up. Of course, that's depending on who you're following, but for the most part, it's a quick word, easy word to type in. He posted up even the Wu-Tang earlier, so giving that shout out to Wu, which I love. As you guys know, I go by ODB, aka Old Dirty Ballard. But at the end of the day, man, you've got a great what's the word I'm looking for? It's kind of, I think eclectic is a word, right, that we would use of a great collection of photos. So, yeah. You know, appreciate you sharing it with us. And we just want to say, dude, keep it up. We'll have you back on soon. Everybody, let's get James up to past 2,000. Right now he's at about 1,682 followers, and he's got about 1,642 posts. So let's get James up there. Take screenshots. Send it to your club mates. Send it to your friends. Share it on Facebook, on Instagram, dude. All of the support definitely helps with that motivation. So, James, we appreciate you, bro. We out here, man.
Oh, man. Thank you, bro.
All right, later.
Of hell, and if I can't see.